Speaking on this program is Curtis Cates.
Spiritism and the New Age movement is a very needed subject today. Men have, and women, boys and girls have wondered down through the years, if a man dies, shall he live again? And of course, Job asked that question in Job 14:14, to ask it was to answer it. But that question is as old as man. Another question is, if the spirit lives on, does it communicate with those who are here upon earth still? Many have desired to obtain information concerning life after death. Do loved ones continue? Do friends continue to exist? Are they happy? Are they sad? Do they have bodies? And these people are either ignorant of or dissatisfied with what the Bible teaches. They could go to the Bible and they could learn the questions, answers to these questions quite quickly. But being separated from the departed, many have wished to communicate with them. For instance, millions of young men have died on the battlefield, some women, in the flower of youth, and countless other people have had untimely diseases and they've died when they're young. Tragic accidents have happened, and the loved ones do not want to let them go. The fathers have unfulfilled plans for their sons. The mothers wish to hear the footsteps and the greetings of the apple of their eye. And the grief-stricken wife vainly waits for another hug or a renewed whisper of unending love that she wishes to receive from her departed husband. Children long to see their mothers and fathers as they're taken away from them. Precious memories enable us to relive and retrace moments that we had with them. And we go back to houses where we lived, and we go back to places where we went, and we read letters and stories are recollected. And so people are wondering, what is the situation with them? If a man dies, shall he live again? Where are the dead? Are they still alive? Can I communicate with them? And thousands upon thousands of books are written and on this subject, and millions of people are reading those books. We're being bombarded with various answers to these questions in the media, in public and private schools, and so forth. And it doesn't matter how much education you have or how little. It doesn't matter what color you are or how rich or poor you are or how young or old you are. We can be misled. No one is exempt from being deceived in these particular areas. And especially is this true today because Western occultism and humanism, atheistic humanism, have embraced the Eastern mysticism and the mythic teachings to their bosom. And all three of these have combined to bring about what is called today the New Age movement. Everyone is a target of this movement. According to the New York Times, a mounting tide of fascination with the supernatural is engulfing businessmen, housewives, military officers, artists of the East and West. It is either plain old gullibility or the dawning of the new age of Aquarius, they say, and I quote. They desire to program your children into the occult. It says the key manipulators of the new age know that unless you train up and harness the spiritual direction of the children, there will be no new age. In other words, unless they do that, the new agers know that unless they train the young people, then there will be no new age. At every level, the child's worldview, that is what he unquestionably assumes to be true about himself and the world about him, is carefully being molded and programmed. And so the question is, how are they doing that? Well, they're doing it through such movies as E.T. or certain cartoons on Saturday morning or popular children's books with elements of witchcraft or yoga. And certain games like Dungeons and Dragons or ESP or Values Clarification that we see in the schools or palm reading or the Ouija board, Transcendental Meditation or Karate or Channeling or Star Wars and the Force or Satanism, the influence of the occult is moving into the lives of our children. And we need to be aware of that. And some of these things that I called off surprise you, I know, but it's a part of the New Age movement. Let's talk a moment about Spiritism. This is the belief that a person can communicate with the spirits of the dead. Bettner says that the more nearly accurate term is, instead of spiritualism, is spiritism. Instead of spiritualism, it's been called spiritualism at times. And the reason why we prefer to call it spiritism instead of spiritualism is that spiritualism is that which is desirable. In other words, the Bible teaches us to be spiritual in nature. And so what we do is we call it spiritism instead of spiritualism. Bettner said from the beginning of time, or Geisler, the beginning of time, man has sought to lift aside the veil that separates the worlds, this world from the next. It is not unusual, he says, to see the bereaved longing for a message from the dead. All right? Broken-hearted mothers, desolate widows, and fatherless children in their grief have sought some direct message, some ray of hope from the other world. And in the moment of grief or despair, spiritualism seems to offer an easy solution. Well, why don't they go to the Bible? And the Bible can tell them exactly what this situation is. But they don't oftentimes. They move away from the Bible and they try to find out in some other way. This is no new thing. It's as old as man, really, desiring to know about death and what's beyond and desiring to communicate with the dead. It can be traced back to the ancient Egyptians and Hindus and Chinese and Babylonians. Homer spoke of it. Plato did. I wish we had time to talk about that. I guess among the earliest close study that I did in the area was when I studied getting an English degree. I studied about Emanuel Swedenborg. And Swedenborgianism influenced very greatly William Blake. And you've probably studied some of the poetry of the English poet William Blake. But Emanuel Swedenborg was a Stockholm University professor who in the middle 1700s claimed to receive special communications from Martin Luther. And, of course, William Blake, my English teacher said, one of the persons who taught me about William Blake said that William Blake would look outside his window and he would see angels floating around in the trees out there. And he was influenced greatly and he held to Swedenborgianism. In this country, the movement began and received popularity to a great extent with Kate and Margaret Fox. They were the daughters of John D. Fox, who moved in 1847 to New York. When they moved into New York, they moved into this older house, and it seemed like they thought something was happening in there mysteriously, and they claimed to begin communicating with a fellow who had been murdered in that house, Charles Rosma, who had lived there earlier. And later they found some human bones in the cellar, and so word began to get out, see, that they could communicate with the dead. Well, then they began communicating with certain wrappings, they admitted that these wrappings were caused by their toes. They could snap or crack the joints of their toes, but later on they denied that. The Fox's sister's cottage is now a spiritism shrine. But we could name certain people like Arthur Conan Doyle, who created Sherlock Holmes. He was a spiritist. He thought he could communicate with the dead. Philosopher William James, who was an atheist, of course. Sir William Crookes, who invented the Crookes tube. And, of course, I guess the best known one among us might be Bishop Pike. James Pike, who was an Episcopalian modernist. His son committed suicide. He went to Arthur Ford, who was a Disciples of Christ preacher and a well-known medium. He had been a preacher. And he wanted to contact his son in his son's spirit and talk to him. Harry Houdini, of course, was a famous musician, magician, and numerous others have shown such practice to be deception. Let's talk a little bit about spiritism and Harry Houdini. I don't know of any magicians that have been able to perform the feats of Harry Houdini. He was just a marvel at it. The Scientific American set up a committee of which Houdini was a member, and this group offered $2,500 to any medium who could prove that she could actually, or he could actually, conjure up spirits of the dead. Houdini himself offered to donate $10,000 if any could do it. Of course, no one ever claimed either reward. Well, he had served for a time as a medium, but he said later that he didn't realize how wrong it was until his own dear mother, whom he loved very dearly, died. And he was very grief-stricken. That experience caused him to turn very strongly against spiritualism. In the opening paragraph of his book, A Magician Among the Spirits, published in 1924, he said, and I quote, "As I advanced to riper years of experience, I was brought to a realization of seriousness of trifling with the hallowed reverences which the average human being bestows on the departed. And when I personally became afflicted with similar grief, I was chagrined that I should ever have been guilty of such frivolity, and for the first time realized that it bordered on crime." And so he began exposing them. He said, having associated with mediums and joined the rank and file and of them and held seances, you know, and having had one of the largest libraries collections in the world on mystic phenomena, he stated, "Nothing I have ever read concerning the so-called spiritualistic phenomena has impressed me as genuine. Mine has not been an investigation of a few weeks or months, but over 30 years he had investigated it. I have not found one instance that savored of the genuine." Well, Sir Conan Doyle lost a son in World War I, and he thought that Houdini could help him to contact his son. But anyway, Houdini, Doyle claimed, did his speech by some type of dematerializing himself, becoming immaterial and then coming back into the material, rematerializing himself. Well, Houdini answered that. He said, "No, everything I've done has been by purely material means or physical means. I do not dematerialize or materialize anything. I simply control and manipulate natural things." Well, he says, Houdini said about one trick that he had heard that a number of these spiritists had been performing, "I have performed it regularly for 30 years without any supernatural power whatever." And he warned people about going to fortune tellers and mediums and so forth. Spiritualism touches every phase of human affairs and emotions, leaving in its wake a train of victims whose plight is frequently pathetic, sometimes ludicrous, often miserable and unfortunate, and who are always deluded. It is to these effects of spiritualism, which are so seldom considered, that I wish to call the reader's attention. Well, the great Houdini then, Eric Weiss, spent many of the years of his life exposing these fraudulent claims. Now let's talk about spiritism and the New Age movement. A new wave of spiritism is sweeping America, and this is the biggest that it's been since the initial outbreak in America in the mid-19th century. The New Age movement is a hodgepodge of pre-Christian, sub-Christian, post-Christian, and anti-Christian ideas regarding man, his origin, his will, his destiny. It is a hybrid Hinduism. Brethren, it used to be that we sent missionaries overseas to try to convert these people over there in these eastern countries. Now they're coming over here in leaps and bounds, and they're building their temples, and they're teaching their message. And a lot of them are incorporating it with the atheism that we've had here and other things. The proponents of the New Age thought will use such terms that sound biblical, such as rebirthing, the higher self, cell regeneration, higher heaven dimension, the power of choice, personal transformation, and so forth. They refer to the movement as the Eastern altar of these children of the New Age. Notice the connection with these Eastern religions. The public has been drawn unsuspectingly into the New Age net by their clever marketing tactics. Let me tell you something. I have looked through these books that you get on these planes, airlines, you know. I thumb through there and I see some of these things for businessmen, and a lot of it is New Age. It's New Age. And they're getting it in these companies, and they're getting it and it's this trying to have meditation and these kinds of things. One method is avoidance of the old words of spiritualism. Now, that they have the same spiritualism, but they want to gloss it over and they call it by something else. Instead of referring to seances, they speak of channeling, which in turn is an abbreviation of trance channeling. Another technique is to downplay mediums. Although Shirley MacLaine, whom you see on the television and so forth, who believes in reincarnation and everything, New Ager, has been up front in acknowledging her indebtedness to spiritual guides. Well, that's a medium. The word she preferred, see, she doesn't want to call it a medium. She has assumed that they're fake, admitted that they're fake psychics, and even warned against consulting transmediums, for they are generally unreliable on dates and mathematical figuring. Well, will they refer to the Bible? Yes, because, you know, most of the people in this country have some confidence in the Bible, at least. One tactic of the New Age movement is to cite the Bible. This is one major reason why many people see no problem in holding to belief in the reincarnation. They think it's Christian, see, because many of them use these biblical terms. Shirley MacLaine found in talking with actor John Hurd that if his friend was typical, many assumed that the Bible taught reincarnation. And so they desired it. It's like the old line liberalism and neo-orthodoxy. They use Bible terms to teach their atheistic modernism. Though secular humanists tend to dismiss all expressions of occultism as fringe lunacy, not to be taken seriously, we are to be warned that occultism, as represented by the New Age movement, is rapidly becoming a force to be reckoned with in the Western world. They have two objectives. Number one, personal transformation. Now, they want to change you, and that is evangelistic. And then they have the desire to change the planet, planetary transformation. And this is socio-political. And a lot of this Greenpeace and a lot of that today is tied into the New Age movement. What in actuality may be Hinduism or occultism can be taught and administered in secular guise. It holds that a monistic worldview all is one which relates to mystical experiences. And there are various methods that they use, such as holistic health, psychic healing, meditation, transpersonal education, right brain learning, values clarification, and so forth. And they have found their way into the schools and industry, health professions, and so forth. What is the New Age? It is the rare individual today who has not heard of the New Age movement. Nevertheless, trying to give a cohesive definition or precise one of the New Age, it's like trying, one person said, to nail microbiotic rice pudding to the wall. Everybody has his definition or her own way of looking at a thing, but what is definitely an integral part of the New Age to one person is sneered at by another. So some of them may hold basic tenets and others might not, you see. Some cling to pyramids, crystals, chandeliers, goddess worship, meditation, guided imagery. Other New Agers are in the area of globalism and saving the environment and human potential in any combination of all of these. All, however, would agree that dogma and dialogues are out. Still, as long as you don't believe in sin, Satan, the virgin birth, the exclusive deity of Christ, heaven and hell, those basic doctrines of Christianity, then it's all right for you to be a Christian. Well, you can't be a Christian and not believe in those things. The New Age is the ultimate eclectic religion of self. Whatever you decide is right for you is what's right, as long as you don't get narrow-minded and exclusive about it, you see. It is truly ironic that our space-age technological civilization, whose God has been science, progress, rationalism, cold-blooded empiricism, has seen a mass stampede in the direction of Eastern mysticism and occultism that constitutes the backbone of the New Age movement. Now, how many people hold to this? 1 out of 4 of our country are said to believe in reincarnation. 2 million Americans claim that they have had out-of-body experiences. More than 20 million turn to channelers and psychics. Nearly half of American adults feel that they have contacted one who is dead. Now, let me tell you some other things about the New Age movement. I'm going to have to skip a lot of this. It is estimated that 60 million people hold to some form of the New Age or cultic teaching in this country. Time magazine has twice featured lead stories on the New Age movement. Well-known booksellers such as Walden, Doubleday, and Crown prominently display New Age publications. There are more than 2,500 New Age bookstores in the United States alone. The number of New Age books on the market have been multiplied tenfold in the past 10 years. More than 3,000 publishers of New Age and occult books do $1 billion worth of business per year. Now, what is the background of this movement? The Transcendental Meditation Movement, Transcendental Movement of the early 1800s is one of the backgrounds of this New Age movement today. We've studied about Thoreau and Emerson and Whitman, and you know, they talked about the oversoul and how if a person depended upon his intuition, then he was a part of the oversoul. And thus we're divine. The oversoul is God. Everything is God. Pantheism. And if you depend upon your intuition, then you depend upon God and you make your own Bible, you see. And Christ was divine just like we are. Only he was a little bit more divine since he was able to depend on his intuition a little bit more. Well, the Theosophical Society has been a heavy contributor to New Age thinking. The Beatniks of the 1950s, influenced by Zen Buddhism, have been a part of forming this new thought. The rebellious element in the 1960s were a part of forming this new thought with their illicit and perverted sex, drugs, astrology, and the Eastern religion, and so forth. The present-day self-centered positive thinking kick, the self-esteem movement, is a major contributor to the New Age worldview, and I've seen some preachers get on this kick. Other diverse movements such as feminism, the peace movement, environmental concerns, and emphasis on the occult have become a part of the New Age thought. Theological liberalism has undermined the confidence that people have in the Bible, and that has contributed to this movement. Now let's notice some of the basic beliefs of the New Age movement. Everything in existence has one essential reality, and that is called monism. This is from Hinduism. Another one is that God is in everything, pantheism. And the Force in the Star Wars movie is based upon this idea. Well, if God is all and all is God, then man is divine because he's a part of everything, right? He's a part of everything. It is essential that modern man develop cosmic consciousness. You don't need to think about being a person, a citizen of the United States. You need to give up your Western mindset and look to the east for enlightenment. All religions are roads that lead to God. One is equally as good as another. Therefore, Buddha and Krishna and everything is just as good as Christ. Then they would feel better. Reincarnation. The New Age movement draws heavily from Hinduism, one of the oldest and most complex of all the world religions. And it has the idea of reincarnation and the law of karma. Okay? And the law of karma says that whatever a person does, whether good or bad, this will return to him in exact proportion. And if he does bad, well, then he's going to have to do that much good to offset it, you see. But a person doesn't live that long. And so consequently, when you die and you haven't offset your bad with good, then you've got to come back as something else to try to offset that again. And so that's where the reincarnation comes in. Some New Agers believe in an original creation of souls by a, quote, force. A force. And the Hare Krishnas, a New Age group, estimate that one out of four people in the United States today believe, and I mentioned that, in reincarnation. The Gallup poll revealed that more than 30% of Americans under the age of 30 believe in reincarnation. Walter Martin, in a recent book, talked about a survey in which 54% of Americans polled either believed in reincarnation or would not rule out the possibility of reincarnation. And so we see the seriousness of that. But let's go to the next point hurriedly. What do they think about God? New Age movement denies that there is a personal God who loves us and who's personally concerned for us. The New Age lecturer Stuart Wild describes God as the force. This concept was made popular in the New Ager George Lucas movie, Star Wars, and its sequels. Wilde said, the force is an energy that experiences evolution. It is massive, exhilarating, magnanimous beyond description. Perhaps you might want to call it God. Rita Lucy, New Ager who writes children's books in a book entitled The Lord's Prayer for Children, denied the existence of a personal God. She says, God is everything, He's everywhere. This means you too are God. Well, our children are reading that. New Ager Shirley MacLaine teaches that the self is the ultimate reality. God is you. Guru Swami Muktananda suggested, kneel to your own self. Honor and worship your own being. God dwells in you as you. Well, what about Christ? Well, he was just an ordinary Jew. He was not always Christ. He won his Christship by a life of good works and self-sacrifice. He built upon the pattern Buddha had established 500 years before. The cosmic Christ who came upon the man Jesus had earlier come upon Buddha and Krishna and others, see? And so you have the power to become Christ also. Well, they reject heaven and hell. What are some other New Age teachings? Well, holistic medicine is one of them. New Agers think of mind, body, spirit as one inseparable whole. Health, they believe, is not just a matter of the body overcoming disease, but the patient's psychological and mental states. They emphasize acupuncture and creative visualization and meditation and yoga and hypnosis and massage and other body therapies. And, of course, emphasis is placed upon that in a lot of our schools. I wish I had more time to talk about that, but I'm going to have to pass up a lot of this material. Crystals, I wish I had time to talk about that, but I do not. Let me talk about the spread of the New Age influence and propaganda. New Agers are using everything that they can possibly use today to spread their material. Radio, television, movies, books, education, and politics. They are involved in the green movement that is devoted to saving animals, in the protesters for peace, women's rights, one world government, and so forth. Greenpeace has 2.5 million members worldwide. They generally oppose loyalty to one's country in efforts to implement what they call planetary consciousness. Education. They believe the only way to have a new society, as we mentioned earlier, is to change the education of the young people. They call their educational philosophy transpersonal education. And they seek to inject it into the public schools and also, as been mentioned, into the private schools. New Age spokesperson Marilyn Ferguson reported that the New Agers are involved in the field of education more than any other field. The New Agers claim that many teachers and administrators and school psychologists are among their most zealous adherents. In an elementary school in Buffalo, New York, a New Age teacher led her class in a visualization exercise so that they could actually see and talk with the spirits of long-dead presidents George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Well, that's spiritism. In Round Rock, Texas, pupils in a fourth grade world culture class were required by their New Age teacher to stretch out their arms and chant, "All hail the power of the mighty globe." Of course, this is earth worship, a New Age practice. Another thing that they use is show business. And you think about these New Age zealots like Shirley MacLaine, who's written books on reincarnation. Merv Griffin, television producer and personality. Actress Linda Evans, a New Ager. Singer John Denver. Entertained Felicia Rashad of the popular family-oriented Bill Cosby show. Rock and roll singer Tina Turner. Country singer Willie Nelson. Film star Richard Gere. Actress Sigourney Weaver. Rock idol Michael Jackson. Well, his has been slowed down just a hair, hasn't it? In addition to these actors and singers, many Hollywood writers and directors and producers are New Age advocates. Gene Roddenberry, who created the popular TV series Star Trek and Star Trek The Next Generation. He is highly critical of biblical Christianity. He wrote an essay for Volkswagen Corporation that was published in an advertisement in Time magazine. He had harsh words for Christians who believe in Jesus only, as well as for people who believe in American patriotism. Quote, "Those who insist theirs is the only correct government or economic system deserve the same contempt as those who insist that they have the only God." New Ager movie director George Lucas of Star Wars fame has also produced another New Age idea and symbolism movie, Willow. It's chock full of witches and wizardry and so forth. I wish I had time to talk about that. Disney World and Disneyland have an 18-minute 3D movie called Captain EO, which stars avid New Ager Michael Jackson. The film is filled with New Age symbolism. It is shown at the Magic Eye Theater. Well, that's one of the areas of the New Age thing. That's one of their terms. The New Age symbolism, the Magic Eye, is the third eye. It's a chakra or energy point located in the center of the forehead. George Lucas produced this movie. The plot is filled with New Age symbols. Jackson is Captain EO, rescues the queen of the black and white planet. She is being held captive because she believes in both black and white, evil and good, a New Age principle. The movie ends with Jackson singing, "We are here to change the world, the New Age goal." Well, they do indeed desire to change the world. In education, and my time's just about up, in getting a doctor's degree, I had to learn a lot about John Dewey. And John Dewey was the father of progressive education, an atheist, and he was one of the ones that got us into the mess we're in. He wrote the Humanist Manifestos, Manifesto 1, written in 1933, and Paul Kurtz wrote the second one in 1973. I wish I had time to talk about this, but one of their works, once the religious philosophy of humanism became firmly entrenched in our society, the stage was set for the next logical step, the introduction of a cosmic humanism, which we know as the New Age movement, and they have emphasized that greatly. And I wish I had time to talk about more about it. But let me read this. Mr. Samuel Blumenfeld warned about what's happening in the schools. Not only are the children at risk academically, Blumenfeld continued, they're also at risk spiritually with programs like values clarification, situation ethics, yoga, these things are taught in the schools, transcendental meditation, evolution, sex education, death education. Death education teaches children to hate life and to love death and to commit suicide right the first time you try it, I might say. And is responsible for the current alarming teenage suicide rate and the fascination with games such as Dungeons and Dragons and cults such as Satanism. Phyllis Schlafly reported numerous abuses, reports of abuse in the classroom tied with the occult. And a publication of Pro Family Forum entitled QR Guided Imagery and Meditation warns parents of New Age techniques used in the classroom, such as quieting reflex, trance-producing meditation, spirit guides, values clarification, yogic breathing, success imagery, which leads to hallucination, incidentally, spontaneous sexual fantasies, and so forth. Well, I have in this chapter the answer to the idea that we communicate with the dead, but I thought it more important to make you a little bit more acquainted with the New Age movement, and you can read the book to get the other.